Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom!
You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
Hey, parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
If you've ever tried putting sunscreen on kids, you know it can turn into a full negotiation or a meltdown. It used to be a bit of a battle for us until I found Primally Pure Sunstick. It's super quick, no mess, no rubbing anything in forever. You just swipe it on and you're done. It's mineral-based with non-nano zinc and really simple ingredients, which I feel good about using on my kids. It's just clean, easy coverage that doesn't slow us down. So if you've ever stood there reading the back of a sunscreen bottle, shop Primally Pure's SPF collection for simple, non-toxic ingredients you can trust.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, with my co-host, Raul and Shu. We figured we would kind of come back in here, do a little bit of roster talk. Got a little bit of news, not a ton, so hopefully be able to kind of get in and get out of here. Since we recorded, we've had a little bit of things happen. I mean, for the most part, we all knew and anticipated what Cam Boozer was going to do, so that's kind of already been covered. But officially, it's out there now, so you know we can always kind of look back on that. One of the best Duke players, best seasons we've seen. Definitely up there in the best freshman conversation as well. So shouts to Cam. Hope he goes and kills it. Would love to see him in Charlotte. Don't know if they're going to get up quite that high, but we'll see, man. We'll see. But shouts to Cam. The other big one, yo, for us to really get into, y'all, is that Dame officially announced that he's coming back. So, I mean, that was the expectation for quite a while here. If you've been following our boards or if you've just kind of been, you know, just following Duke news in general, there had been a lot of noise over the last several months that, like, this was a possibility. He had unpacked his bags, really enjoyed his time at Duke, and all of his videos too, right? He's always like, shout out Duke, man. So shout out Dame as well. But this isn't like the type of guy that we've really gotten back a ton. So there's not a ton of precedent in terms of like the expectation coming into the sophomore season, what you might would get out of that. There's obviously NBA prototype there. There's NBA aspirations there. We know the defense and what that can do. What are y'all looking for here? Or what are your kind of expectations for year two Dame? Because I don't feel like, I mean, it's been almost what, y'all, like a week since he announced. There's not a ton of like buzz, and for me it's like, are we underselling like how good this kid could be in year two? I mean, I don't know, where are y'all at with the sophomore Dame?
I'm just excited to see what kind of offensive growth he can make, because obviously we know that he's already made his mark, his stamp as a defender. You know, about halfway through the season, Shire started putting him on the other team's point guard or the other team's best player, and he really took, you know, neutralized a lot of really good players in ACC play. So we know he's going to bring that. Offensively, he was mostly, you know, a spot up shooter, 3-and-D guy. when he would try to handle the ball in transition. Sometimes it was a little bit of an adventure, sometimes take three steps or lose the ball off his knee, things like that. But I do think he showed some growth as the season went on. You know, he made some really nice passes that I remember towards the end of the year. And I just thought he seemed like a little bit more under control. He had a really good NCAA tournament too. So I think he could just build on all of that and, you know, just show that he can be competent offensively. And then that's going to be enough to get him drafted lottery in a weaker draft, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all that. Like, I think you could see the confidence building in him, right, as the season progressed. I think, obviously, coming from overseas, like, the transition period was a little tough on him to start, but the shots started coming around. The defense was there the entire time. I think, you know, he just builds on kind of what Raul hinted at, a little bit of the ball handling. He did make good decisions, good passing, so it's more just being strong with the ball. Maybe finishing some more around the rim. I mean, I remember one of the last things, you know, catches in the corner. He's been hitting spot up corner shots. Well, he pump fakes, puts it on the ground, you know, gets two good dribbles and goes in and puts it down with authority. So looking to see more just confidence from him in the second season.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's, there's really just two things. So like all summer, it's like, all right, man, we got to hit the cone drills. Hella hard, like the dribbling, the handle. If he can get that improved a little bit, that might open up some of his drives. Earlier in the year, he just was like unable to really do much off the dribble himself, really, right? And kind of cut back on that, was able to kind of do more off cuts, or like you said, like using that corner three as a threat to then be able to kind of hit a closeout there. But yeah, gotta get the handles tightened up. That'll open it up for him. And just any kind of like hand drills, like y'all were talking about, like some of the miscatches and things of that nature. Left a lot of points just like on the line there that probably pretty easy for him. Once he gets a little bit acclimated, the game slows down even further for him. But I mean, I think you're returning a kid here who like literally could be the defensive player of the year, or he's going to be all defense. And if the offense takes a step, you're talking about maybe a second, maybe first team, but like a second team all ACC type of guy here, at, you know, 6'7" on the wing, which is like, you know, pretty massive, and he can guard 1 through 4. We'll talk about the roster here in a little bit. But as it's pretty impressive, we got another addition, but wanted to spend a little bit of time kind of just digging into Dame's stuff. The corner three y'all mentioned, only shot 32% overall from three on the year. So maybe there is a little bit of, mobility there for him. Like to see him maybe hit the glass a little bit too, right? Like get on the glass, get on the boards, get out in transition. But a lot of it is just the hands and the handle. And if that can kind of get sharpened up a little bit, got a pretty high ceiling for Dame coming back, y'all. So,
I mean, has all the physical tools. So, I mean, that's all there for him, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if he could add some weight
and
some strength, because, I mean, at least here on his sports reference page, he's listed at 6'8", 190. That's really skinny. You know, I'm 6'1", 185. So, you know, he has 5 pounds on me. And I think next year with all the guards we have, we could see some 3-guard lineups, which would mean that Sar could spend a little bit of time at the 4 from time to time. But you don't really want him doing that at 190 pounds. Now, if he gets up to like 210 or something, then it becomes more viable, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think for the league, he's probably going to have to do that a little bit, because it's, you know, he really looks a lot like, even though like the frame, the way that they move a little bit, there's a lot of like SGA in there, but none of it, the offensive package. And so if you don't have that, like if you're not, I mean, you don't have to be the best in the world at like off dribble creation and things of that nature. But if you can't really kind of like do much on ball, and kind of, you kind of usually end up having to slide down, right? Or move off of it in a different way. Maybe if you're playing with Denver or Jokic, then like that, everything's inverted anyway. But like that's kind of a one of one situation. Maybe Bam in Miami or something. But for the most part, I think he's going to kind of have to figure that out. And if he can get up to, you know, 205, 210, 215 would be pretty intense. But then you really are that 3-4. Kind of like hybrid wing that could still potentially kind of maybe guard up too, because you don't want to lose that. Like you don't want to lose the ability to guard a one or to guard like an elite ball handler. So like maybe the quickness is keeping
you don't want to add so much muscle that it slows you down, obviously.
Right. Yeah. And his frame probably just isn't really lent to go like insane in that. Now, I think there's more there than like a Brandon Ingram, who's kind of just capped out a little bit. Right. Like, but maybe an RJ Barrett is like the apex form of like what that frame could look like, I guess you could say. RJ is kind of a tank and a different animal a little bit, yeah. But you know, maybe there's something there for him. But yeah, man, Chas Adame. So you get this kid back, obviously on a team that was 35-3. We know how it went. We know the stakes there. So you get the pedigree back. You get your culture within that back too. I mean, him, Caden, Caleb, like these are guys that are really going to kind of get this offseason kind of rolling here. So excited for that. Shouts to Dame. I guess we'll pivot y'all and add like not really his teammate, but someone from that same pipeline if we're looking at FC Barcelona here. So the news earlier in the week, cycle here, UNC gets the commitment from Seyon Keita, who Duke had been kind of looking at for quite a while. I don't know if the water was ever as hot as it's being made out to be. I mean, I followed it and it was always kind of like a loosely monitoring situation here. There was mutual interest. He ends up going to UNC, probably a good fit for him. There's a lot of opportunity there to probably start right away. So Duke kind of pivots very, very quickly here, ends up getting a commitment from 17-year-old Joaquin Bunche Bunche, which is a fantastic name. Going to be a lot of fun with that here in Cameron, y'all. Son of a former NBA player, Georgetown player, Ruben Bunche Bunche. This is a 5-star recruit now. He's 6'11", 7 foot. I've seen some kind of differences in there. If it matters, he kind of plays more, maybe like a 6'11 than a 7-footer. 230 though, so he has some great size. I've seen some Carl Anthony Towns like kind of like body comps tossed out there. That's a pretty decent kind of look, I guess. I don't know about in terms of play style, but in terms of just body type and what he's going to look like here. But yeah, opens up the Barcelona to Duke pipeline. Super young, so he's not even eligible for the draft in 2027, which means that he's probably looking at 2 years here at Duke. So, fellas, y'all can jump in. I don't want to give all of our points here and talk about the, you know, like I know everything about him. I'm kind of reading off a prompt here. I think no one knew much about this kid a couple of days ago. But just for y'all, kind of excitement level here. I mean, for me, as I'm looking at it, it's always going to be hard to find a fourth big to come in and fill that role. This might be like near the top of what you could get out of a fourth or fifth big behind Meyer, if you even want to go that deep, and still have someone there the following year to maybe step right in. John might have nailed this thing. Y'all, what's your initial thoughts?
I think that's the biggest selling point, right? It's like he's coming in with the expectation of I'm, you know, going to fight for my minutes, but it's probably that I'm going to be playing a backup role. But because of his age and needing to, you know, play at least 2 years of college, sets up to step right into the role the following year. So you don't get, you know, like a Theo John kind of level guy that's just a backup guy, but then it's just 1 year of him. You get to use this as a developmental piece as well. So I think it's just, again, a home run for John to have snagged him. My favorite, I think he's lefty, right? Southpaw.
Yeah, he's a lefty. Yeah.
Like, love it.
Yeah, he's looks to be a really great shooter for his position, which I think is useful for Duke because it allows him to play the 4 or the 5 going forward. So that just gives Duke some flexibility depending on, you know, availability, injuries, how well certain guys pan out and all that. You know, I think this is just like the ideal situation, you know, and John really kind of, I don't want to say lucked into this, but somebody like Keita, like, just wasn't going to come to Duke with Pat Gongba there because he's just not going to have the opportunity to start. And his plan is to, you know, go to college for 1 year and go to the league after that, right?
Right.
Whereas a super young guy, you said he was 17. He's actually not 17 till the end of this month, like May 30th or something. So he's still technically 16 now. So he'll be the youngest Duke incoming player we've ever had. So, you know, I would kind of urge fans not to expect him to be amazing right away. Again, this guy like is barely legal to drive in the US, right? So there's going to be some growing pains, but I do like the fact that he's not like 190. So that's a good sign, I think, that he has some bulk and some muscle. you know, the expectation is that Pat and maybe even Cam Williams too would be gone next year. So that's just going to open up a lot of minutes. So you would expect him to slide into whatever starting role there he's best suited for. And I think we'll have to wait and see until he's out on the court whether he's going to be a more natural fit for the four. I know some people are saying don't consider him a center, but I'm not entirely sold that he can't play center. So we'll just have to see. We'll have to suss it out, I think.
I think that whole like narrative is just kind of dated at this point, right? Like it's not, to me, it's not about power forward or center. Yeah. It's, are you a big and can you play alongside another big? That's right. What it is, right? Like, can we play two bigs and you be one of these? Can you complement another one? And it also, obviously it helps if your game is expanded enough where you can play in or out with either type of big, right? Like I can play with four or with Cam Boozer. Like that makes you a pretty viable big. Whereas some like Pat really needs to be anchored a little bit. He'll step out a little bit, but more of a passer and things of that nature. But to me, yeah, power forward center, I don't really care. It's just like he's a big and he can play with another big. Now, if you want to say that he should probably always play with another big, maybe that's a different argument. I'm not sure. We'll have to see, especially in year two. We have no idea what that kid's going to look like, you know, a year and a half from now. But at the same time, this is essentially Duke's bringing this kid in to be their fourth kind of big, right? Behind Charnowski, behind Gongba, behind Cam Williams. Maybe even behind Sebastian Wilkins as well, if you consider him. He might kind of be more in the kind of 3-4 hybrid role. So if you kind of consider him sliding up a little bit, that's fine. And so anything you get out of that will be gravy, you know? And so like he could come in and really give you a boost, the talent's there. If nothing else, though, you do have a guy with a ton of size that can maybe, if just hit the glass and shoot open threes, I'll take that too, right? Especially at that size. And this kid's not just shooting like, oh, he's stuck in the corner and it's just like a kick out. Like he's coming off curls. He's coming off flares. Like they're like running stuff for him a little bit, which is kind of crazy. Obviously that's a highlight video. But still, if you're coming off of like designated actions for you to catch and shoot a three, there's something to be said about that, right? Like
this is a guy who is playing up 6 years, essentially, right? He's playing with the under 22 team at 16 years old. So
yeah.
The fact is he's getting these plays run for him with guys 6 years older than him on the team. I think it's a good hedge of the bets. You would expect Cam Williams to be at least somewhat college ready. You know, he's the number three player in his class, and generally those guys tend to be pretty good overall. But, you know, it is a weaker class. He's pretty skinny, and word is he's a little bit raw. So I just think having like another bite at the apple, right? Between Boomche and Cam Williams, you would expect at least one of them to really develop into a great player throughout the year.
Yeah, and I'm still really high on Cam Williams. Yep.
Similar, actually.
Yeah, they're
kind of the same player. 6'11", can shoot the three, you know.
Yeah, I trust Cam's handle a lot more because I've seen it a lot more. They're very similar. Yeah, I'm really high on Cam. I think it might be, it's more of just every single postseason, John has had a major injury. You got a guy like Pat who is phenomenal, but like there's a picture going around where the guy's in a boot and an arm cast. And it's like, okay, man, like put this guy in a bulletproof bubble for a couple months or something.
I was joking that he looked like he just came off the battlefield. You know what I mean?
Yeah, literally, man.
Like and a it's like, soldier. Out of the office space when the guy's got the,
the full body cast.
Conclusions.
And you need the size, right? Like you can't really compete and win without size. I mean, Connecticut did everything they really could, and Michigan just kind of had him out there the whole game, right?
Krivas, I think, is coming back to Arizona. You've got Howell coming back to Florida, you know, so you just got a lot of teams are going to be huge again next year, is the point.
Yeah, and Chinwu, I think Ruben came also like Florida's absolutely. Yeah,
they're going to be great
down there too. Yeah, so a lot of size. That's clearly where the game is right now. You know, and I think the roster probably is done, but for the sake of, you know, I think it's just safe. One, let's get a little bit more information on some of these guys. We'll do a further deep dive. Two, though, Now, the expectation is for Blackwell to be at Duke, but he's still in the draft. Like, his name is still there. Apparently, he's going through the process, similar to what Elliott Cadeau said he's going to do. Sion James did the same thing. I think Tyrese Proctor did that the year before or something of that nature. Mark Mitchell might have done that his freshman year at Duke as well. So we've seen that happen. That is the expectation. However, you know, let's just let that all close, be done with, and then we have plenty of time, y'all, before the season gets here. So we'll do a full, more robust, you know, roster analysis, if you will. I know Josh Evans is somewhere, you know, got a spreadsheet of like minute calculations and breakdowns coming up. Shout out to Josh. But fellas, let's take a quick break. And then there's one more thing that we should probably get into. There's a big deal coming up with Amazon Prime and Duke Basketball. You might have seen that. Some marquee kind of non-con games. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But fellas, let's pay some bills.
Are you really buying a car online on Auto Trader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom! You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
Hey, parents. We all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I've been seeing Blue Tansy everywhere in skincare lately, but I actually discovered it through one of my favorite clean brands, Primally Pure. I didn't believe in natural deodorant until I tried their best-selling Blue Tansy deodorant. This one is actually clean, and it actually works. Blue Tansy is this really calming antioxidant that helps soothe irritation and inflammation, especially if your skin tends to react easily in areas like underarms. And what I love is that the same ingredient runs through their entire soothing collection, from facial mists when you need a little pick-me-up to their soothing spirulina face mask, packed with raw honey, kaolin clay, and wild-crafted botanicals. I've honestly never experienced anything like it. So if your skin has been feeling a little overwhelmed lately, return to calm with Primally Pure. Their Blue Tansy line is a beautiful place to start.
All right, fellas, let's jump back in here. So I kind of teased at it right before the break. Big announcement recently today as we're recording this. This is what, Thursday, April 30th here. Duke inks a deal with Amazon Prime. And I wish I had a little bit more time to digest or to look at some of the stuff. We're continuing to see some of the reports coming out here. Everything that I've looked at, though, sounds like this is a massive, massive front runner. You know, intuitive, like shouts to the ADs, shouts to all the guys that whoever at Duke is putting this stuff together. I think this could be a big wave, a big splash based on what I'm looking at here a little bit, but I'll run through and then we can kind of give us our thoughts here. So UConn, Michigan, Gonzaga games, will be played all on neutrals. Amazon Prime will be the one that will be streaming those games. All of the opponents get $500,000 for participating in this game, which is pretty big. So if they're getting that, imagine what Duke might be kind of walking away with from here. I think the biggest thing, too, is I've heard that there's also going to be like exclusive ads, commercials, things of that nature that Duke players are going to be able to kind of like NIL leverage through this thing. Amazon is a global kind of network here as well. So this will be all across the world, not just on a local market. That's another kind of massive thing here. Ro, you had pointed out on here too that there's some kind of like bypass apparently that they kind of were able to get around some of the like maybe blackouts or coverages or media markets that the ACC and ESPN have. there's a little bit of kind of like Notre Dame football kind of vibe feeling here in the works, or at least some kind of protection, or like, you know, brand ceiling, if you will, whatever you want to call this thing. But fellas, what was your kind of initial reaction to this deal, other than just obviously a lot of fans just were hating on the fact that it was going to be on Amazon Prime? But I think there's a much bigger picture here, other than just like the carrier. But go ahead.
I mean, you kind of covered a little bit of it. To come back to the ACC ESPN thing, the reason Duke is able to play these games and not have them be on ESPN is because they're not in cities that have an ACC school. If you think the opponents are making $500,000, then Duke is probably getting millions for each game. So you think about how much of the NIL budget that goes towards covering. And so if we can continue to do this going forward, then frankly, Duke can just have a huge competitive advantage by being able to outspend other schools because they've got so much of their NIL already covered. And that's not just what Duke is getting. Like you pointed out, there might be some exclusive deals with Amazon, who is one of the three biggest companies in the entire world.
In the world, yeah.
Yeah, so some exclusive deals with Amazon for the players. So, you know, just I think it's a way of kind of solidifying the brand going forward, regardless of what happens to the ACC, because we all know that the ACC is secure because of their, you know, TV deals for, I don't know, what is it, like 5 more years or something? But we don't know what's going to happen after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, look, it's obviously innovative and ahead of the curve, right? And that's kind of what we've done. We had the first GM. This might have been Rachel Baker's doing. I haven't dove into it as much as probably you guys have. But I love the opponents. You know, you play in UConn in Vegas around Thanksgiving. Michigan is in Madison Square Garden in like December. And then the Gonzaga one kind of, I guess that one was a little weird to me because that's the February one, right? Like that's when we take our what we've been doing, a little break from the ACC. But Gonzaga is going to be in the Pac-12 this year, if I'm right, you know, if I remember correctly. So it's kind of odd for them. You know, in the past, I could see them wanting to schedule something like this because, especially that late because of their conference. But moving over to the Pac-12, maybe that's a little different for them. I know it's going to be, I don't know exactly what all teams constitute the new Pac-12 are going to be, but be a step up from what they've been playing.
And you probably don't turn down Duke in $500,000.
Sure.
Right? Like, why would you? And the fact that we're going to play, I think that game is the one in Detroit, right?
Which that's the one in Detroit.
Final Four is going to be at. So you get another kind of like bite at that, right? Now we got Michigan and DC, and then that ended up not
playing out,
being quite as faithful to us. But at the same time, when you're up 19, I mean, it looked like this we were going to handle it. So, you know, whatever. But you get another opportunity to play in the city, in the area where this is where it's going to take place. Like, this will be the Mecca this year. So you get that. Obviously, I think the big one is the UConn. You get Nick and UConn again there. There's a lot to that. We'll probably come back and do more of an analysis on the schedule and all of that. I mean, it's going to be a long summer, y'all, right? So there's no reason
It's nice to have 3 games with date sets and locations set that we know about. So that's cool. And I do like that we're continuing to do that February game, because we saw last year that the ACC is improved, but maybe not as improved as we had hoped. And I think it'll continue to kind of incrementally improve as time goes on, but it's still not, I wouldn't say that the ACC is going to be like the vintage best conference in basketball kind of ACC that we knew from our childhoods.
Yeah. The money's not there like it is at some of the other schools or some of the other conferences, because they're able to leverage football funds if they want to, or massive donors. So you don't have quite as many, like you take a school like Texas. Just Texas, right? And then think about all the other schools like that in their conference. We don't really have a ton of that, right? Like Carolina's that, but they fumbled pretty hard with some of this stuff lately. So, you know,
These massive state schools, you know, particularly in the Midwest and kind of Southwest area, they have enormous student bodies. They have so much funding. They can put together competitive rosters every year pretty easily.
Yeah. And I think that's what is going to fluctuate. So like, even if the ACC is strong, there's just going to be some portal money fluctuations that is gonna happen in there. So I love the move of continuing to say, hey, we got to continue to play big time, out of conference, different styles, whatever. So yeah, shouts to John again for getting that done. Shouts to Duke, shouts to Nita King, shouts to Vincent Price as well. Like whoever was involved, I'm sure all those people were involved. You mentioned Rachel Baker as well. So yeah, I think for now, y'all, I mean, that kind of closes our podcast a little bit in terms of Duke-related news. Now, there is an assistant coach position that's still out there on the radar. Clearly, I think Shire and the staff were focused on, we got to get the roster right. We want to prioritize the roster. We want to get all of our ducks in a row there. And I think they've done an absolutely outstanding job, probably the best that he's had, giving the needs and what all was available since he's been at Duke. So we'll get to talk about that with him here in probably a month or two. I haven't got a hard date yet, but we do have a commitment from Coach to join us one more time. So we'll chop it up once everything gets finalized. He's got to get an assistant coach here too. So once things settle down or slow down a little bit, if that happens, I don't think that happens for him, but he'll give us a little bit of time. So excited for that. I guess there is one little bit of news, which is like pretty cool, pretty exciting. Duke officially offers Cager Knipple. So Khan's younger brother has got the official offer here. Not a big shocker, but it's cool to see that he's actually like earned it too with like how he's playing. And you get like a Colton Hiller and a Cager Knipple kind of like tandem there. You might get to run the Khan Coop thing back a little bit. So
6'10". He's been shooting 54% in EYBL from three.
Yeah, and like his shot looks easy too. Yep. And when I see that, I'm like, ooh, like that. That's something that like you don't really get a ton.
Did you say Dunleavy? Did you mention Dunleavy or somebody did? To me, that's the obvious
comp for him. Yeah.
Dunleavy shot up that like that too. He's like a guard. Like
yeah,
through to 6'8", 6'9", 6'10" real quick.
Yeah, and then shot up the rankings late too, I think, which is what's going to happen with Cager here, I think. You know, he's...
Yeah.
Because Cager was a three star at one point. You know, I'm thinking he's going to shoot way up those rankings because he's been getting a lot of buzz. Like
6 inches in one summer or something crazy. Yeah. So if the shot's soft, I trust it typically, right? Like if you make it look good. So yeah, a little bit more news from that. Fellas, I think we'll go ahead and get out of here. We're going to come back probably in a week or so, y'all. We're going to do a little bit of draft talk. We got a guest of ours lined up. So excited to kind of get into that a little bit. As a part of that, we'll probably talk a little bit of NBA playoffs here. So if y'all are following along.
Shout out to Paolo. Dropping 45 last night.
Massive game. Couldn't get the dub. Hopefully they can finish this thing out. You don't want to blow that lead. Luke Kennard has had a great kind of like playoffs, especially like early in that series. They're kind of getting threatened here a little bit in the back door.
Tatum's looked good too.
Tatum as well. Boston's also playing with their food a little bit. So who knows? There's a little bit of first round blues going on maybe, but Duke guys have performed pretty well. RJ has had kind of moments too where he's looked good. So shouts to the guys. Coop officially wins Rookie of the Year as well. I don't know if we covered that last time or not. I don't think so, but officially gets that. Was kind of hoping for a split, but I think we all saw the writing on the wall the last kind of 2 weeks there. Khan really needed to – the narrative finish was already set kind of, right? Like the narrative was there. And not, you know, Coop earned it. Like all the 40-plus games and the youngest players to do this and that. Like it was all there for him. But kind of have a hell of a year. Hell
you think
run.
If Charlotte got into the play, if they would have won those?
maybe he dropped 25 on each. Yeah,
the fact that he was like almost like it was a really, really bad performance the first game. The back just was, you know.
He was struggling.
Yeah. So, and it wasn't just that, right? It was like 10 days prior to that, it had started, like the slump had kind of hit. And I think he always just needed to kind of, you got to have the momentum and you got to have it at the end if you're going to overtake the number one draft pick.
And the fact that Cooper dropped 50 at the end of the season and all that, you know, he went on a little heater there and kind of stole it from Khan. But they got all the first place votes, by the way, because Cooper got 56 and Khan got 44.
Yeah, somebody put VJ over Khan for like the number two, the second spot or something like whatever. Some Philly beat writer, I guess. But exactly. So shouts to those guys, man. y'all, we'll get out of here. Just try to get in a little bit short and sweet. So I gave you 30 minutes. So, you know, we're long-winded and, you know, forgive us. But we did get some emails. So I want to shout out one. John Watson calling you out. He wants you on the podcast, brother. He wants to hear you give some VIP information out, talk a little portal, talk a little roster construction. John has been kind of hammering on the boards as well, covering the portal. So we'll get him on. I'm sure he'll join us as well when we have Coach Shire on. So we got some other guests lined up too. I teased the NBA draft, and we'll probably do that one next. And then we'll kind of get into our summer series here a little bit. But please continue to email us, thedevilsinpod@gmail.com. We appreciate that. Rate, review,
subscribe. I got to apologize to Kelly Clark for not putting it together that she literally grew up in my neighborhood. My friend Caesar and I used to shoot all the time at my house. Yeah. And his sister's Kelly. And I just did not put that together. You know, it's a common enough name where, and I also kind of forgot that he had Duke fans in his family because he's a UNC fan. So just did not make that connection. So apologies to her.
Yeah. Shouts to Kelly. Right. So continue to email us again, y'all. We appreciate those. And hopefully we'll be able to get some good topics in this summer. If you got something that you want, shoot us an email, let us know. But you can also follow us or find us on the boards, thedevilsden.com. We got a YouTube page too. If you're watching this, you see that. You can find thedevilsden.com YouTube page over there. On Twitter or X @devilsdenpod247. So we appreciate it. And keep the faces strong. Never bow.